What kind of tree do you suppose that was? It was a sycamore tree. What's it doing there at the corner of Broadway and Wall Street? Because you can see the building that it's next to is Trinity Church. Our next slide. Here's an etching of something very profound that happened on Wall Street, not far from Trinity Church. May 17th, 1792, it's called the Buttonwood Agreement. 20 bankers and brokers got together and founded a little something they called the New York Stock Exchange. The Buttonwood tree featured in this etching is also known as a what? A sycamore tree. Next slide. You are now standing at the western door of St. Paul's Chapel, looking west. If it were still there, the North Tower would have been in that frame. Years later, after that sycamore tree was destroyed, it was replaced by, guess what, you guys? A cedar tree. Next one. It took them, as you know, months and months and months and months and months to clear all the debris. The big pit, of course, was a place of solemn remembrance. But when they were ready to build again, with great ceremony, they went and got them a 2-ton stone from the Adirondack Mountains in upstate New York, made of granite. That is the foundation of this. Next slide. The tower. Can you see along with me? Oh, by the way, in 2004, if it was not at that actual ceremony that I showed you a picture, it was soon after, presidential candidate Jonathan Edwards, do you remember him? Vice presidential candidate at one point, and then presidential candidate, he steps up to the microphone and he says, "Look at this stone." And he literally cites Isaiah 9, verse 10. But he forgets, look at the end of verse 9, who say what, everybody? In pride and arrogance of heart. Now verse 10, bricks have fallen, our towers are gone. Don't matter, we are going to build with hewn stones. And the sycamores are cut down, we will replace them with cedars. Jonathan Edwards, are you kidding me? You know, even President-elect Obama cited Isaiah 9:10 as well. Go to our next slide. Here's how many of us remember it. They're the Twin Towers. I want to take you on a little journey, okay? World Trade Center. There it was, in all of its glory. At the close of World War II in 1945, Bretton Woods, New Hampshire, hosted a significant meeting. The financial and banking leaders of the entire world, of the Allied world, get together in New Hampshire, and they laid the foundation of a new global financial system that would rebuild ruined cities of Europe and nations. It would establish something called the World Bank, and the dollar would be the world reserve currency. Truly, it would establish America as a world trade center. In 1945, also, David Shultz, former governor of Florida, real estate developer, at first proposed the concept of a world trade center in Lower Manhattan near Wall Street. In 1945, America was the world's first true superpower. Economic backbone and military standard. Would you agree? The World Trade Center was conceived in 1945 at America's apogee of power. 1945 was a Shemitah year. Now, if you don't know what that is, the Bible says, work the land 6 years, right? What were you supposed to do the seventh or Shemitah year? Let it rest. For a number of reasons. The agronomers tell us that's just good practice of allowing the soil to regenerate. It was to help the animals, and it was to help the poor. And you know what it was really and truly about, Israel? when you have to trust God for the whole year that you couldn't touch those fields or vineyards. Can you see the workaholics twitching? Well, I got to do something. No, what you got to do is rest and realize who is our real source. God is. I want you to notice something. Whenever humans kind of get big for their britches, when a culture really sort of rises to a certain level of accomplishment, it's interesting to me that the architecture of that civilization will soon reflect a huge concerted effort to build a what? A tower. Remember Nimrod, whose name means I will rebel? He says, I'm going to found my own nation. Thank you very much, God. What's one of the first building and architectural features that signified that rebellious civilization? A tower. There's something amazing about humans when we build our towers. The World Trade Center was conceived in 1945 at the apogee of power in America. 1945 was a Shemitah year. When we are supposed to take the year off, so to speak, and recognize that God is our source and be humble before Him, what did we do? We built us not one tower, but two. The massive retaining wall holding back the mighty Hudson River was finally laid September 14th, many years later, 1966, a Shemitah year. The World Trade Center with its world record twin towers was officially finished and inaugurated by the Port Authority on April 4th, 1973. Say it with me, a Shemitah year. You people who love to study and research, something also happened in 1973. The Supreme Court ruled in Roe versus Wade, legalizing abortion. Then finally, of course, September 11th, 2001, 8:46 a.m., American flights, 11 slammed into the North Tower. 9:03 a.m., United Airlines flight 175 slammed into the South Tower. In New York, 2,606 people at the World Trade Center died, and 125 at the Pentagon. 2001 was a Shemitah year. Conceived in 1945, begun in 1966, completed 1973, and destroyed in 2001, all in a Shemitah year. The towers fell on September 11th. It would take a week before Wall Street could reopen. They did so on September 17th. That's the last month of the last Shemitah year on Elul 29, the last day of the last month when all debts were settled. Finally, the stock exchange opened. Do you remember what happened? It fell 684 points. 37% of the market was wiped out. And for the next couple years, a recession worldwide happened. It marked the greatest stock market crash in American history up to that day. And it began a years-long recession. But mostly based on subprime mortgage boom, the economy came storming back until the global financial crisis of the year 2000. Eight, a Shemitah year. The New York Stock Exchange plunged, how many of you remember off the top of your head? 777 points. Is God trying to tell us something? Monday, April 15, 2013, Boylston Street, Boston, Massachusetts. We think of the Boston Marathon. It's the oldest marathon in the world. But why did they have it on a Monday, not the weekend? Because in Boston, it's known as Patriots Day. All the kids are let out of school. It's a big day. What is it? It's celebrating Lexington and Concord. Do you remember what happened there? Our Minutemen first met the British troops at Lexington. They had to race across Old Bridge, stopped on the other side, Concord, and fired the first salvo of the war. Ralph Waldo Emerson termed that the shot that was heard. Why? Because America was born. Do we understand that the Boston bombing was terrible in and of itself? But please keep your Jesus glasses on. It happened on Boylston Street, Boston, Massachusetts, on Patriots Day, when we are remembering the birth of America, literally. Brothers Zakhar and Tamerlan Zarneff, as you know, they killed three, they wounded 264. What does God say about premeditated murder? If the hand of man takes the life of a man, then by the hand of man shall that murderer's life be required. God ordained three institutions, marriage and the family, the church in the second chapter of Acts, and the third thing that God ordained was human government. And at the very foundational stone, the very founding idea of government is this. If you murder someone in a premeditated fashion, your life will be required, says the Lord. And as you know, in America, we've been fudging on that for a number of years now. Potentially this summer, we will see the total of unborn babies aborted in America since 1973 could potentially reach this summer 60 million. 6 million Jews were exterminated in Nazi Germany. Did God judge Germany for that? And ladies in this room and gentlemen in this room, the statistics are that there are people sitting here that have had to make that awful choice. I'm not condemning you. I'm just saying. Did you know here at Harvest, we help finance and help financially Crisis Pregnancy Center. When you're in your early teens or even later and you're faced with that life-changing situation, oh, I pray that there was someone near you somewhere that could have listened to your story, prayed with you, and then provided you with the right information to make the appropriate choice to either keep that baby or to give it to adoption. But even if you didn't, I don't want you to be crushed this morning, because statistics show that women who really have gone through that terrible ordeal, even to this day, struggle. In fact, I want to pray right now. Lord Jesus, every single one of us in this room is a sinner. Some sins, we're the ones who want to make that sin as worse than another. But to you, Lord, all sins are the same. And for any woman or any man who has ever had to make that choice and chose not your heart and your word and your way, I want to point them to the cross, because how much of our sin was nailed there? Say it with me, everybody. All of our sin. And there is therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Be free, daughter of the Most High God. Be free, son of the Most High God. And be a spokesman, perhaps, and a light for someone else faced with that difficult decision. In Jesus' name, amen. This President Obama has done more to separate America from Israel than any other administration ever. We looked at the prophetic battles that the Bible predicts will happen. Psalm 83, which then sets the table for Ezekiel 38 and 39. If you weren't with us, get our tape and check that out. Would you agree with me that the Arab Spring of last year has wiped out some real despots, but at the same time, too, those terrible despots and dictators did bring a modicum of stability to the region? And now that those guys are gone, would you agree with me that that whole region is up for grabs? And what's the old saying? Nature abhors a vacuum. And the political understandings and religious zealotry in that region, believe you me, will and have stepped in. ISIS, Al-Qaeda, and the Shiites. And please understand with me that the Shiites especially, It's never land for peace, you guys. What is their stated aim? Namely, Ayatollah Khomeini, the supreme leader of Iran. What has he made certain? We have to destroy Israel. And our president is literally preferring, in my opinion, Persia and Assyria, that is to say, over Israel's security. You guys know that we're in a Shemitah year right now, right? And praise God, we've rebounded from the 2008-2009 slide. And everybody's saying, look how good we're doing. I don't know about that. I was going to go into a whole financial challenge. I'll leave that to your study. But I want you to notice something. My job as pastor of this church and the shepherd of this flock is to point out that the end of this Shemitah will be Elul 29, which will be this September the 12th. And then Tishri 1, which will be the new year, will begin another Shabua, or another seven-year period, another week of 7 years. That next year, starting in Tishri 1, the first year is going to be called the Jubilee Year. What was that? Oh, it's a wonderful study. Check it out, Leviticus chapter 25. All debts are forgiven. Here's the important thing. All land goes back to its owner. This Jubilee will be the 70th Jubilee since Moses and Joshua led the people into the promised land. Listen to this. What is the number 70? Is that important? It's 7, God's number of completeness, times 10, God's number of witness. 70 is a profound number indeed. It's God's total completedness. 70 elders of Israel ruled with Moses. 70 of Jacob's family complete the journey to Egypt under Joseph. 70 years Israel in Babylonian captivity. In Ezekiel chapter 8, when he was seeing the elders of Israel and the terrible things that were playing in their mind, how many elders of Israel did he see? 70 elders representing all of the leadership of Israel, defiling themselves. 70 years to complete Israel's rest. 70 weeks of years to complete prophecy concerning Israel and Jerusalem. What's the 70th week of Daniel, if you've been with us? That's Jacob's trouble. That's the book of Revelation. How about the New Testament? 70 kingdom parables, if you put together Jesus' teaching across the four Gospels. 70 disciples he sent out. Peter once asked the Lord, "Hey, Lord, how often should I forgive someone who did me wrong? 7 times? Our Lord replied, 70 times 7. And as you've heard us say before, did you know that there were 4 lunar eclipses this last year? The 4th one is coming up, guess when? On Tishri. The first feast of Leviticus 23 is Passover. The 7th, which completes the cycle, is Tabernacles. There was a full lunar eclipse last year on Passover, and then 7 months later on Tabernacles. So, a year later, again, a full lunar eclipse on Passover. And another lunar eclipse on Tabernacles. It's called a tetrad. Does that happen very often? It's happened 2 times in the last 300 years. 1967, did something significant happen regarding Israel? Israel wins Jerusalem back in the Six Days War. 1948, did something significant happen? Israel became a nation again after 19 centuries of the diaspora. The third one is happening right now. There have been tetrads before, always significant of something happening in Israel. This last tetrad is the only 4 blood moons that will end in a Shemitah year. Now, what does that mean? I don't know. God said that he gave the moon and the sun for light, to be sure, light the day and light the darkness, but also for signs and season. Did you know there was a full solar eclipse this year in the middle of the four blood moons? What was the difference there? It happened in the middle of a Shemitah. On the same day, March 21st, it was the spring equinox. What does that mean? I don't know. As I said, the Arab Spring has wiped out the stabilizing regimes of practically every one of Israel's enemies. Have you been hearing about these flotillas leaving Libya, trying to get out of that horrible condition, boarding these boats and just trying to sail across the Mediterranean? ISIS is spreading. Iran is expanding into Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Gaza, and other places. And last week we saw how Psalm 83 could happen very soon. There are only two nations founded specifically and deliberately on the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and his Bible: Israel and America. Is Israel in Bible prophecy? You bet it is. Will this next Elul 29, which 7 years ago saw the 777 point drop in the Dow, is something going to happen? I don't know. How many of you are blown away about the World Trade Center? How many buildings were destroyed? When was it conceived? On a Shemitah. When was it started? On a Shemitah. When was it completed? On a Shemitah. And when was it destroyed? It's almost as God is saying, America, you think you did all of this? It's me. One more quote from Jonathan Cahn. At the peak of Israel's blessing and influence, a metamorphosis began, speaking of Isaiah 9, verse 10. The nation began turning away from the God of their nation's founding. The change was subtle at first, but in time grew more and more blatant and brazen. Whether by conscious intent or unconscious abandonment, the people began driving God out of their lives, out of their culture, out of their government, and out of the instruction of their children. In his place, they brought in idols and foreign gods. And in place of his ways, they now followed the ways of the pagan nations that surrounded them. What they had once condemned, they now celebrated. And what they once had reviled, they now worshiped. Is it just me, or does this sound like America? They grew increasingly carnal, materialistic, sexually immoral, self-indulgent, and their culture likewise grew increasingly coarse and vulgar. And then, as did the nations surrounding them, they began to lift up their children as sacrifices on the altar of Molech. As for those in their midst who refused to go along with their nation's moral and spiritual apostasy, those who remained faithful to God's word and his ways, they were now marginalized, mocked, vilified, and finally persecuted. The nation that once had been brought into existence to be a vessel of God's purposes had now transformed into the very opposite, a civilization turned in upon itself, at war with its own foundations, and at war with God. And if that's where we ended our sermon, let's just all go eat some worms. There it is in the Bible, you guys. Would you read it along with me? If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven, forgive them their sins, and heal their land.